This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of
hope. AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Swing low, my sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, my sweet chariot,
coming
for to carry me home. Swing low, my sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, my sweet chariot,
coming
for to carry me home.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis 34, verse 23 to 31.
Won't their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours? So let us agree to their terms, and they will settle among us.
All of the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi,
"You have brought trouble on me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed."
But they replied,
"Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?"
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis 34, verse 23 to 31. What
do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. Accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior. Get baptized into a true Bible-believing church and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit. Your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
You tell me we'll go away no matter what you, huh? Oh, yeah. All you ever said before, no matter what it was a truth.
Welcome back, and if you just joined us, this is the program You Decide. Once again, I have with me my able and seasoned panelists, and we are going to talk about judgment. Today too, I have here Pastor A.Y.A. Brent Coker, Michael Akwaboa, Isaac Tre, Isaac Efriye is here. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I am your host, Thomas Isaac. We want to know what judgment is. Please let us know. What is judgment?
I would say judgment is part of God's character. The reason is that from the biblical point of view or perspective, it is always seen that whenever we talk of judgment or we mention judgment from the Bible, it is God giving a response or an answer to sin or to saints. So from the Bible, judgment is always cast, I'm saying, in two sides. One side goes to those who are on God's side as a way of their vindication or their redemption. And then the other side also goes to those who are against God. That is sinners. So you see this as how the Bible also presents the view of judgment. One side goes to those who are on God's side, and the other part or side also to those who are against God or sinners.
That is also a simplified form of judgment. Isaac.
Thank you so much. Judgment has actually come about in the human existence as a result of the fact that human beings are no more in a universal uniformity with God. Once you hear the idea of judgment, it easily brings to mind the fact that possibly there are opposing arguments or views, for which reason the right way should be set clear and that a verdict should be given on those issues. And it's quite factual that human beings after the falling has actually gotten to these two facets. We have those who are actually struggling for God and to keep their relation intact with God. And we have Satan, who is also influencing other parts of humans to actually make sure that no one has that continual relation or maintains that continual relation with God. For this reason, God is ready to judge and to set whoever is right, right, and whoever is wrong, wrong. I actually love the introduction section, especially the one giving reference to that of the Ghanaian concept.
Oh, okay.
You realize that before that day, very day of judgment, investigation, whatever had gone on,
yes,
the very act of the judgment took place within maybe 5 seconds or whatever, before you realize the man had pronounced the verdict.
You know, it's interesting that many people even couldn't be sure. That
I tell you.
Is that all?
I tell you. We were expecting more.
The judgment.
You see.
Yeah.
And such is the idea we are talking about here. And I want to make this reference to 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Just like Nana Akufo-Addo and His Excellency Mahama had to appear before these judges so that their deeds could be challenged against the authority of the land, the constitution, and by which a verdict was given on whichever side it had to go. Such will be our own position on a certain day called the judgment day, which lies way back in the future, where all men, all flesh, both dead and alive, would have to be present before the judgment seat of God and the verdict to be given on our deeds done on this earth.
Okay. So, usually we hear judgment day. Is it going to be an event that will take place within a day? Is it that short compared to all these several thousands of years, eons? You know, people claim that we've been in existence for years. Our Bible tells us this earth has been existing for thousands, about 6 to 7,000 years. All these things will just come to an end in one day. You mean it's a judgment day?
You see, just like we have all alluded to, accounting.
Yes.
There will be record. There will be accountability. We are going to give account of how we lived our life. In essence, this is something that every Christian should know. Every believer, every human being should know that whether you are for God or against God, it is going to be judged.
Sure.
The judgment is for all. And so, one of the things that you're talking about, is it going to be a judgment one day that all mankind will be
born? Well,
that would be so cumbersome. I don't know, even though God can do all things, the possibility of he being there with his angels and one by one, like the
cross-checking
he gave, that we must all appear
sure.
before the
judgment seat of Christ.
Of God. And most of the time, that statement makes people think, oh, I will go and I will defend myself.
One after the other.
One after the other. It is more than that. And like I preempted, at Christ's coming, he comes with his rewards. So how does he give rewards if he had not done some searching and having done some investigation? And so that actually brings the idea of a pre-advent judgment,
okay,
which we call investigative judgment.
Okay.
And so maybe I will talk about three
faces
of judgment.
Okay, so whilst you started for us, we can go on. Our next question was going to be, what are the types of judgment that we have?
First, the Bible tells us that the last message, the everlasting message for the world, actually describes judgment. Revelation 14:6, it says that, I saw an angel flying in the midst of having the everlasting gospel to preach, saying, the judgment of him who created heaven and earth is come. So his judgment is now. I'm saying we have three phases of the judgment. Three phases. We have the pre-advent judgment that will take place in heaven. There is a pre-advent judgment. You can refer to that in Daniel 7, 9, and then 10, and then 13 and 14. Okay. There is a pre-advent judgment. And so we see that God is already, and I said 1 Peter 4:17 also alludes to that, that judgment will begin in the house of God, in the church. So those of us who are professing to be Christians, whatever we are doing, we are being judged. Because by the time your probation will end, all the facts about you have been recorded.
Okay.
Then we have the millennial judgment.
Okay.
That is when the Lord comes and he takes the saints. They are going to be with you. Remember when we talk about the resurrection?
The resurrection.
They will be with him a thousand years. The thousand years is the millennium. So there will be this millennial review judgment in heaven by the saints. This will be by the saints who have been collected, who have overcome, who have been triumphant, who have showed their faith. They will be in heaven. Revelation 20:4-6, and then 1 Corinthians 6:2-3
okay.
alludes to that.
Okay.
So that's the second phase. Then there will be the executive judgment on earth. Revelation 20:11-15.
Okay.
So those are the three phases.
Yeah. How do you explain the executive judgment or the executive judgment?
First, I said there is pre-advent.
Mm-hmm.
Before Jesus comes.
Yes.
Everyone will be judged.
Yes.
Everyone professing belief in him or disbelief in him.
Okay.
And so before he comes, he knows those who is going
and
to
save. Comes with his reward.
He comes with his reward. The second one, when he takes the saints.
Yes.
They are going to go through the books.
Mm-hmm.
They will go through that because I told you there are angels who are chronicling or putting into account everything we do. And they put every minutest thing. They don't make mistakes.
Okay.
They write exactly what we do.
Okay.
Because the angels cannot, the inerrancy, they can't make mistakes.
Okay.
Then when they have gone through the books, and they have ascertained, oh, this is why Mr. So-and-so wasn't here.
This is why this person cannot be saved. They will go through the books, and that is the millennial judgment.
Okay.
The executive judgment is when Christ will return with the saints in the New Jerusalem. Now, all who did not partake in the first resurrection and were not part in heaven, they have already been judged. They are going to be condemned. Mm-hmm. That is the executive judgment.
Okay.
That is when the devil will be resurrected with all his cohorts, those who believe in him, and then they are going to be put into the lake of fire.
Wow. Okay, we'll quickly go on a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from our other panelists the different types of judgment according to their exposure and their research. Now I am your host, Thomas Isaac. Thank you very much for coming today, my abled and seasoned panelists.
Was the truth? It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you.
It was the truth.
It was nothing but the truth, and it's all that you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
You are welcome to Moment of Truth. Sit back, relax, while I present to you a continuation of Dr. Kranting Pepim's sermon on Count the Cost.
God says, do the right thing, and I, the Lord, will take care of the results. If that's clear, say amen. Reminds me in my home village in Ghana, West Africa. As I grew up, there was a certain house that was started. It is halfway, it is still standing halfway to this very moment. The person started to build a big mansion, he ran out of cash, couldn't complete it, and now lizards and rats and all these reptiles live there. And that house has become a proverb. Don't behave like such and such a man who started and couldn't complete. That's what Jesus is saying. Biblical Adventism, the kind that would last in the last days, is a commitment, a radical commitment to following the Lord no matter what. Jesus says, this is how radical it is. Therefore, count the cost. Many of us will just follow with the masses, and everyone is following the crowd. Think. We want a generation of young men and women with the integrity of Daniel, with the leadership of Nehemiah, with the humility of Mary, We want people who have the passion for souls like Paul. We want people who are radically committed to God, radically committed to His Word and to the Spirit of prophecy. From head to toe, we are all misguided because we have lost this essence of radical commitment. Jesus says, count the cost. And friends, when you count the cost, you are going to discover, oh Lord, help me. I didn't know I was a liar. I just discovered from the 20 questions. I was a murderer. I was a thief. I was an adulterer. You see, sin lies at the heart of our doors. All it is waiting for is an occasion to spring up. Many of us are going to be cannibals. Once you know this, and say, Lord, help me. And then the Lord says, I have made provision. Jesus will help you. How? Spirituality. Daily devotion. Studying His Word. Fasting. Listening to good quality music. If you know you have instincts to immorality, why do you play rock music? Jesus will say, I want good quality music. Take it out. Don't even bring it to the church. Do you understand what we are saying? See, the 20 questions you answered reveals the thermometer. It is an indication of your heart condition. And if you are beginning to understand what we are doing, you notice that we have a problem. We need help. That's why you can wake up, brush your teeth, and then no devotion and move on with your life. Because you think you are okay. You don't realize the virus of sin is ready to pounce on you at the right time. Count the cost. And it is ethics. It is the law of God that reveals to you you have a problem. And you need help. Do you understand? He uses another analogy. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage that desires conditions of peace. When you are going to war, you first sit down and say, look, I'm going to fight the U.S. military. They have their B-2 bombers, stealth weapons, and all these latest gadgets of weaponry. I am living in some poor Africa. I don't even have, you know, a gun. How can you fight the forces of the U.S.? Hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and you have just a few. And you notice you can't fight the enemy. So what do? You go to them seeking help. Or if you can't do that, you can't surrender, then you appeal to another power, perhaps the European army. I'm just making this up. That's what Jesus is saying. We are on a battlefield. The enemy out there has power. He knows how to press your button to do evil. You cannot fight him. You need help. And Jesus is that help. Ethics, which is what we are doing, the ethical component of holiness, tells you what God expects. And God expects an uncompromising loyalty. You cannot be my disciple. You are simply a follower, crowd, you know, you are just in the crowd. You are not a disciple unless you are willing to make Jesus first in your life. And be willing to suffer if needs be for his sake. And be willing to forsake all your education, your relationship, anything. Friends, if you are understanding this, it will soon become clear to you that we have a problem. I don't know about you. I'm speaking to myself. Because there are times when my inclinations exceed Christ's expectations. And that is when you say, Lord, help me. So ethics is that which drives you to the Lord. You know why Adventists don't think about Jesus? And they don't talk about him much? It's because they don't know what he has done for them. They don't know that he is the only solution to their sin problem. The only people who talk about Jesus is the liberals. But the Jesus they talk about is not the Jesus of the Bible. The relationship they talk about is a phony relationship. Who look at their lives in the light of God's word and recognize, Lord, I need help. I'm not just talking about immorality, my impure thoughts. Lord, help me. I'm not just talking about stealing. I'm talking about the dishonesty which comes from time to time. Lord, help me. So ethics drives you to spirituality. Are you following? And then you are going to see the provision God has made. Are you afraid of your life? I have holy angels to defend you. Are you broke? I can send the angels to bring you bread and water. You don't have to steal. But the problem is, we think we can do it on our own. Our problem is self-reliance. Because we don't realize we have a problem. Jesus says, count the cost. Ellen White says in Great Controversy 464, before the final visitation of God's judgments upon the earth, there will be among the people of the Lord such a revival of primitive godliness as has not been witnessed since apostolic times. The spirit and power of God will be poured out upon his children. Before Jesus comes, there is going to be a revival as has never been seen since the time of the apostles. God's spirit is going to be poured out upon people who have really totally surrendered all and want to be his true disciples.
You've just been listening to Dr. Quentin Pippin's sermon. A continuation will be brought to you later.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.